I want that family of a veteran who took his own life at a town hall meeting. I want that person looking Congressman Smith, who's in a soft red district, right in the fucking eye and saying, my brother's dead because of you. I want that mom whose kids depend on school lunches to look Marjorie Taylor Greene right in the fucking eye and say, my kids are going hungry because of you. I want these people to face the real emotions of human beings for the damage and the harm they are causing. Because if we don't have that sense of connection to what's really happening to people, then it's easy to think, it's just Twitter. That's not the real world right now. And it's getting much worse because of the decisions being made by Donald Trump and Elon Musk, and people should not pull a punch.
All right, folks, you got to buckle up for this one because the wild man is in the house. My buddy Rick Wilson joins me at the mic today. I'm excited for the conversation. He is an outspoken Republican strategist, a leading conservative critic of Trump, Elon, and all the crazy that's going on in Washington. He's the co-founder of the Lincoln Project, New York Times best-selling author, and host of the Enemies List podcast. He is the one and only, the incomparable Rick Wilson. We peel off some skin on this one, folks. So settle back, grab that adult beverage, and get ready for a great conversation right here on the Michael Steele podcast, coming up right after this. Rick Wilson, welcome, man. How you been, baby?
Brother Michael, I am well, my friend. How are you doing?
I am ventilated and vertical, so I thank God for that.
Hey, that beats the alternative.
It really does. But I've got a high degree of pissed offness when I look at where things are not just trending, but they're heading headlong for the country.
Sure.
But there are points of light to recall the imagery from our former president and good Republican George Bush. A 1,000 points of light. Well, there are at least 1, 2, 3, 7, 10 that are popping up out across the country where people are starting to say, wait a minute, what the hell just happened? And wait, no. You know, just like you just came home from a long weekend at Bernie's. and you're like, what? Damn, what happened at my house? You know, it's like, what did we do here?
Yeah.
And so that's refreshing. What's your...
Yeah, look,
a month and a half into this yet. What are you seeing and feeling out there?
Look, I still think that we have not yet fully seen people process the degree of damage that is going to hit them. People have still not fully internalized how bad this is going to be. They don't yet understand. Even, and I'm speaking not just of his supporters, but of people who are critics.
Mm-hmm.
All these bad outcomes are going to start hitting real people harder very soon now.
Yeah.
You know, everything from cutting VA suicide counselors to slashing Social Security because Elon Musk thinks it's a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
The impact of the trade and tariff wars hasn't even hit retail markets in America that hard yet, but it will hit much, much harder within the next 2 weeks. The damage that the stock market crash doing to people's retirement savings and to their education savings for their kids, everything else, all these things are adding up very quickly, and they don't understand how bad this is going to be because normalcy bias is a bitch. People don't want to believe it's going to be a disaster. They don't want to believe it's going to be Mad Max. They don't want to believe it's going to be World War III. But the downsides of this and a lot of the coverage in Washington and political press has been like, Republicans say and Democrats responded. And it's not that way anymore. It's not that like little beautiful like moment of the old, my honorable friend across the aisle.
Right.
Now it's like, I said this the other day to somebody and he kind of laughed at me for a second. Then he goes, no, you're absolutely right. I'm a member of Congress. I said, you know, if Donald Trump handed out knives during the session and ordered his Republicans to stab you to death, they would have done it. You know that, right? You can't negotiate with these people. He laughed at me for a second. He was like, yeah, wait, Wait, what? I'm not going to be that dark,
that's what would happen.
I mean, the Marjorie Taylor Greene types, they would be all on that ish. They wouldn't even hesitate.
Andy Ogles would be there holding AOC's heart above his head, dripping it into his mouth, you know, and drinking her blood. And these people would go crazy. But all the momentum right now is headed towards a collision course with most of America. All these cuts that are being made, they're not all just, we're not firing woke DEI climate change trans activists from government. They're firing park rangers.
Right.
They're firing wildland firefighters. They're firing veteran suicide counselors. They're firing a whole group of people that's going to plunge the DC area in about a 100-mile radius, everybody, is about to go tits up. You're going to have a real estate crash. You're going to have a market crash. You're going to have massive bankruptcies and massive repossessions of homes and cars and everything else. And that's not just because of the government workers. It's because of the integrated nature of the whole economy.
So thank you, Rick. I'm glad you went there, because that is the there that connects back to the first point you made about how that people, real people across real America, will begin to feel the results of Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the Doge Bros. kicking the shit out of the federal government and cleaving away from it their livelihoods, their futures, all the things that are important to them. Because it's not just, oh, yes, we're going to shut down the Department of X. Okay, do that. And when you do, do you just think that there's that federal worker sitting in a building off of Constitution Avenue or in Southeast or Southwest Washington, who now has to go, oh, woe is me, I no longer have a job? No, it is all the people that are downstream from that. Rick and I were talking before we came on, folks, and I was sharing with him the fact that my brother-in-law works at a nonprofit that is the back-end operation for federal contractors. In other words, they process all their accounting. They process all of the transactions that they're doing. They help them keep the relationship between the federal government contract that they have and the federal laws that they're required to follow in compliance. They're a back-end operation, an important piece of the puzzle. Yesterday, 300 people who live across the country, not just here in the DMV, got the notice. You're done. Because the federal government has decided to just randomly shut down, cut off a contract, these 7, 8, 10 contracts that we have for important departments. Like you said, the wildlife department, the bureau that's working with farmers. I mean,
USDA is canceling.
Yes.
All this quote unquote wasteful spending. Wasteful spending. By that, you mean, they canceled $1.9 billion in spending on school lunches today. And I'm sorry, the idea that you're going to save the government by making sure kids go hungry strikes me as a inversion of the responsibilities of being a real and responsible leader. And an inversion of basic decency. This idea, you know, if you're Elon Musk and you're the baby daddy of 7,000 kids or God knows whatever it is, and you have 7 private jets, 7, and you are the richest person on the planet Earth, and you look at this and say, wow, that's where I really think we ought to bring some pain. These slackers have had it easy for too long. These kids in school, man. They're getting a free ride. We got to stop that.
It just, for me, it just smacks folks upside the head. So the question is, how much of that will settle in with them? I think a lot of it will, to your point, that when they get the notice or they make the phone call to the department they've been working with, and all they're getting is a busy signal.
Yep.
Or well, no one's picking up at all.
I made a sort of dark ad this week we put out about veterans, because they're talking about replacing 80,000 people in the VA with AI. And I'm thinking to myself, and the ad was about a veteran who, you know, has PTSD, he's trying to get help, and he's on the phone getting the AI runaround on a voicemail system. We've all felt that frustration in our lives, like trying to deal with a credit card or whatever. But human lives are here on the line with a lot of this stuff. The idea that we're going to cut 80,000 people out of the VA and no one's going to be harmed by this is obscene. It's sick. It's fucked up. And I'm at the point now where I'm really, I these guys don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No,
but they are. But you know what? Arsonist doesn't know how to build a building or even how to fix a building. He knows how to burn a building down. Yeah. That's their superpower right now. It's just pure, like outright political arson.
What, you know, folks, you know, just to help everybody put things in context, you know, we, Rick and I, we're not big government guys.
No,
so we've never been on the front line of saying more government, please.
Right.
But
yeah, well, Michael, I say this all the time to people. I want government to be smaller and smarter and better at what it does and cost everybody less. That is not the Elon Musk position. They want to destroy it because, as Russ Vaught from Project 2025, who runs OMB, said, we want to traumatize people.
Yeah.
We want to traumatize Americans. So they're convinced the government can't be there for them.
And how, I mean, look, I know we have on our show, on MSNBC, I've seen other networks play that audio, that video of Vaught standing behind that podium, saying with just as a, in a matter of fact, almost kind of gleeful tone, we want to traumatize people. All right, America. So let me ask you this. If you had someone in your neighborhood who just at a town hall meeting said, I just want to traumatize all of y'all. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do in this. That's my role. What would y'all be doing?
You get a restraining order, for God's sake.
What, you just wouldn't sit there and go, oh, well, that's cute.
Right.
He doesn't mean that. And then all of a sudden, when you walk out of your house in the morning and your newspaper ain't there because he had a crew of vagabonds come through and pick up take your newspaper from your house every day. Or, you know, you're having packages delivered and suddenly they're not, you're calling, where are my packages? We delivered them. And they're doing those things that make your life that much more difficult and complicated.
Right.
You wouldn't stand for it. So I guess, Rick, the question is, going back to those points of light that are starting to pop around the country, you have town hall meetings that are occurring, Republican. This tells you when you've hit a chord. The Republican leadership tells its members, y'all, come on.
No more town halls, guys.
No more town halls, okay? Y'all don't do no more town halls. We don't. No. Don't do town halls.
Michael, I actually brought you up the other day talking about this. I said, there are three elections, and one of them in 2010, where we started seeing Democrats getting their shit kicked at town hall meetings because Barack Obama had overreached on Obamacare and Affordable Care Act. We saw that in 2006 when voters were like to Bush, like, all right, enough of this war shit. We're done now. And it was 1994 when although Democrats laughed about it, like, ha ha, the House bank, that's a nothing burger. The House check writing scandal. The House post office, that's a nothing burger. Nobody cares. And they're going to town hall meetings. People are like bringing it up to them. They're like, wait, what?
Right.
And sure enough, these things do matter. And the town hall meetings are a freaky good barometer in this country that democracy still works. And the reason they're not going to do any more town hall meetings is because they're shit scared. They are petrified.
They are petrified.
They're going to have their asses handed to them. And they're right to be scared, Michael. That people are pissed off. And we haven't even gotten to the worst of this early phase yet for people.
No.
Not even close. We're not even close to how bad it's going to be.
Y'all think a 900 drop in the Dow is a bad day? No, baby. You know how roller coaster goes, right?
Listen. Home values are plunging. The stock market is plunging. And luckily for everybody out there with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa in a nursing home, that's going to get cut too, because most of that comes out of Medicaid or Medicare. And
I mean, folks,
y'all enjoy having the folks move home.
Where do you think they get the $880 billion they want? I mean, that's Medicaid and Medicare is the only place you go.
It's Willie Sutton, man. You go where the money is.
You go where the money is.
That's where the money is.
We've mentioned his name a couple of times now, Elon Musk. I mean, y'all know he's not, you know, he wasn't born here, y'all.
He's from South Africa. I don't know why we would worry about a South African billionaire who he's like a fucking movie villain at this point. It's like
he is Rick, you gotta plant this in your head, my friend. I've been saying for over a year now that Elon Musk is every Bond villain rolled up into one person.
100%. He's all the contemporary Bond villains you've ever imagined.
Every last friggin' one of them.
Friggin' one of them. And the reason it feels so ludicrous sometimes about the moment we're in is because you look at a guy like Elon Musk, and it's like perhaps you aren't a mastermind of every single thing you do. Why don't you spend a little more time building rockets and cars and a little less time whacked out on ketamine imposing fascism on America? They call me crazy. That might work out well for your stock price there, Chief.
Dude, your rockets are blowing the hell up. Why don't you focus on that?
And look, I've said this
car that looks like a freaking Sherman tank.
Yeah, right. The douche panzer. As weird as Elon Musk is, if the guy had just focused and said, I'm going to build cars, and I'm gonna build rockets, and I'm gonna dig tunnels in the ground, and people would have named high schools after this freaking guy.
Yeah.
But now he has made himself such a toxic part of our American life that this guy, you know, yesterday he tweeted he was gonna be on the first human the first rocket to one of his rockets with people on it. I'm like, God bless. Go for it, bro.
Go for it. I'm thinking of a certain
Trump's
submersible
like,
right now.
And even Trump would be like, Elon, it's a beautiful rocket, a very big, beautiful rocket. No one's ever seen a rocket like that. I encourage you to get on that rocket, and I wish you well.
I wish you well. So, but that sort of begs the question, though, where, you know, this relationship between these two is one of convenience.
Oh,
Trump sees Musk giving him the cover and taking the heat.
The only marriage of convenience more obvious than this one is he and Melania.
Yeah. Well. See, y'all, that's why you have to think hard when you decide to invite Rick Wilson to your cocktail party, because the couple in the corner is going to wind up fussing at each other. His brother's going to walk up and say, oh, I saw you last night.
Why did you invite him? He did that thing again where he says horrible things and poor Donald Trump's feelings get hurt.
Oh my God! But these two guys have this symbiotic bullshit of a relationship, in which, you know, Musk is loves Trump, is there for Trump because he's got the back end of every system in the federal government right now. He has
access. He sure does.
Everybody's data. And look, folks, they've downloaded your shit. It's gone.
It's out. It's done. It's done.
It's gone.
Don't worry, some 22-year-old guy named Big Dick or Massive Ball or whatever his fucking name is has your tax returns and your medical records. It's fine. What can go wrong?
All of it. And we'll be selling that shit on the black market.
I'm
it hasn't popped up yet on the dark web.
Yep.
I'm shocked we haven't seen an initial leak yet. So there's a software platform called GitHub. I think it's a little nerdy right now. GitHub is where programmers post their code so other programmers can review it. Well, some of these Doge guys have their own GitHubs, and they've been posting government data and information on their own GitHub so that they can sort of refer back to it. I'm like, the fuck is this? Because you're going to see tax returns on there. It's going to happen.
Of course you are.
It is absolutely going to happen. Because these little nerd kids, what they lack in pussy, they have in vicious curiosity, and they're going to go and oh, I've got Megan Thee Stallion's tax records or whatever the fuck it's going to be. But it will be that. I mean, human nature is just what it is, y'all. You know that.
Oh, my God. This is why you listen. Oh, my God. So you're getting some trouble,
Michael. What else is new?
Dude, you opened that door. What we're going to do right now is probably a good spot for us to take a quick break. So everybody can go.
Woosah! Deep breath, everybody.
take that adult beverage and have a deep breath outdoors. We're talking with man Rick Wilson. We'll take a quick one. We'll be right back right after this. The problem with these huge tech companies is they don't just want your money. They want to know everything about you. Shadowy data brokers making a living compiling detailed profiles of your online activity and selling them to marketers and other corporate interests that want to control you with targeted ads. They're not selling a product, folks. They're selling you, but you don't have to let them. There is a way to keep your browsing history truly private. My particular podcast team, well, they use it. It's an app called ExpressVPN. One of the easiest ways for data brokers to track you is through your device's unique IP addresses, which also reveals information about your location. With ExpressVPN, your IP address is hidden. That makes it much more difficult for data brokers to monitor, track, and monetize your private online activity. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network traffic to keep your data safe from hackers when you're on public Wi-Fi. ExpressVPN also works on all your devices, phone, laptop, tablet, you name it. Just tap one button to turn it on and you're protected. It's that easy. My team uses ExpressVPN to protect their data when they do this show. I want to make sure that they are safe from hackers and that their privacy is protected. So protect your online activity and privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/steal. That's expressvpn.com/steal. And you get an extra 4 months free. expressvpn.com/steal. I want to tell you about a company called Quince and how much they've enhanced my shopping experience. With Quince, I can get high-end versatile clothing at an affordable price. I can snag killer luxury essentials that work with my vibe and will work with your wallet. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and comfortable pants for every occasion. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Now, by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I love that, folks. It just goes with the vibe. I got the most beautiful scarves from Quince that are wonderful to wear on those chilly days. Their styles are great. Their quality is amazing. And the price is just right. And you can experience this too. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/steal for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/steal to get free shipping and 365 days returns. quince.com/steel. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Michael Steel Podcast. So glad you decided to stop in and set a spell, as my friend Jed Clampett would say, with my buddy Rick Wilson. And Rick, I wanted to get this to you because it is amusing. It's kind of cute. You know what I'm about to raise with you is, and you'll know exactly when I bring it up what I mean. When children learn how to cuss,
sure. Or
just put it there. All right.
Yeah.
So you are no stranger to this space.
No, I am not.
Neither am I.
Salty.
You know, it's one thing Catholics know how to do, and that is
yes.
It's, you know, near my God to thee. I don't know. But so you've got now Democrats taking out pages from your book and my book where they're finding a fuller expression.
Indeed.
And I only raise it because it is so uncharacteristic that it stands out. You've got Jasmine Crockett, who's been on the forefront, the leading edge of this. That's my girl. I love it because she came into Congress saying, I'm not playing this game the way you assholes play it, because we're dealing with people who are dangerous and we're going to deal with that. You know, she, after Trump's joint address last week, she said, somebody slap me and wake me the fuck up because I'm ready to get on with it. And then you had a few days later, this sort of cavalcade of expression by Democrats who are now sounding a little bit more salty. And I guess in one sense, I like that because it you know, people like, oh, you shouldn't cuss. I'm like, well, you know, sometimes that's the only word that describes your action. It's, you know, that's the only word that describes when I call you a motherfucker. There's a reason for that, right?
You know, it's like, it's like, there's that great movie from the 90s, Gross Point Blank, where John Cusack plays an assassin and his wannabe girlfriend says, how can you do that? How can you kill those people? And he says, you know, if I show up at your door, you probably did something to bring me there. If I'm saying motherfucker, people probably did something to bring me there.
Right.
This is no longer a world where I think the fake political niceties of my honorable colleague stuff,
right,
as I like to call it, exists anymore. I mean, and would we be in a better world if we all lived in this more dignified and restrained space? In a lot of ways, yeah. I honestly believe that in a lot of ways. But we also live in a moment where if you don't call out the bullshit that's going on around you, and sometimes that bullshit is an obscenity in and of itself. And as a writer and as a speaker, I think there's a place for that right now. I think there's a moment for that right now. And we are in a fucking mess. We are in a place where the world is careening towards political and economic and military disaster because fucking idiots are running our government.
Right.
I mean, we should say that. We should be direct and real about what's happening, because what's happening is not great. And people who are like trying to disguise it and say, oh, well, of course the normal people around Trump, well, they'll take care of them. Don't worry, Marco and Susie Wiles will cover all of these problems. No, they won't.
It ain't happening, y'all. And just like the courts aren't going to save you. There's so many pieces that have been broken at this point. Yes. And there are undoubtedly more that will be broken. But given the ones that have been broken so far, you already know, folks, how this feels. And you have also expressed it in a way, to Rick's point, that is much more real. The niceties are being stripped away. And that's okay, because I think the more we let these people know exactly how we feel, the more strength I think we will find in fighting and resisting this trend line. I don't want people to go merrily into that good night and then wake up the next day and see that their rights have been stripped away. So yeah, I'm calling out some motherfuckers up front. And that's the part of this that, I mean, if there's a theme in this conversation, it is one of, you know, moving towards the light, moving towards those points of light where citizens start to express exactly what's happening to them, responding to that, and leveling up to your point, using the word, the appropriate word, the assholes who are running our government, and letting them know, you know, it's time we wipe our ass and clean ourselves up and get rid of you. You know, I mean, it's just,
look, I mean, Michael, and I want that family of a veteran who took his own life at a town hall meeting.
Yeah.
I want that person looking Congressman Smith, who's in a soft red district, right in the fucking eye and saying, my brother's dead because of you. I want that mom whose kids depend on school lunches to look Marjorie Taylor Greene right in the fucking eye and say, my kids are going hungry because of you. I want these people to face the real emotions of human beings for the damage and the harm they are causing. Because if we don't have that sense of connection to what's really happening to people, then it's easy to think, it's just Twitter. That's not the real world right now.
It's not the real world.
The real world is a painful place for a lot of people, and it's going to get much worse. And it's getting much worse because of the decisions being made by Donald Trump and Elon Musk, and people should not pull a punch.
They shouldn't. And I'm glad again to see that they're beginning to appreciate that. You know, like I said, you know, my brother who manages a number of folks in his business, along with their senior team, just had to lay off 300 people because of Elon Musk. It's that simple. It's not complicated. They didn't lay them off because they were inefficient or that they cost them too much or whatever internal. Or
because they were woke libtards.
They're libtards. They were fired because one man decided here in Washington that the contracts that they serviced, the work that they did for the federal government was no longer of any value. Mm-hmm. And so they just decided we're done. And that disruption to families, coupled with, I mean, put together the people that you just described.
Right.
A husband, wife, and kids, you know, where the husband, because of the stress and strains of losing benefits as a veteran or losing work because of these actions, commits suicide at a town hall meeting. The wife then has to deal with that, plus the fact that the school lunch program that their kids are in has been suspended or ended. And now she's got to figure out how, at least for, you know, the short term, she's going to feed her family. Then she's living with the threat that the job she's in may go away without any notice because of the business she's in is tied to somehow to a federal contractor. Even if it isn't, she could be a real estate in a realtor. And the housing market in her community is now disrupted, and people are having to sell their homes, and people can't buy home. That's where America is right now.
This is unintended consequences are always a bitch, but the scope of the unintended consequences here is so large. It's so crazy. And they were warned, they were told, if you do this, bad things happen. Like there's another sector here. One that I think a lot of MAGA folks would ordinarily go, oh, I love them. 85% of the money of the $135 billion we've provided for Ukraine, 85% of that money was spent here in America on American defense contractors making ammunition so that Ukraine could survive.
Thank you.
And now every one of those jobs is about to go away. Those are good paying, you know, blue collar and gray collar jobs. Those jobs are going away. Congratulations, you played yourselves.
Yeah.
Because nothing in that kind of space, Trump's not going to bail them out. I've told there's no money. He can't bail them out. So it's just the degree of stupidity and obscenity in this is
unbelievable. You open the door to Ukrainian, and I'm glad you did. One, I'm glad you did it that way, because you know, all of this noise about, oh, you know, we spend, you know, why are we spending all this money? You know, hey, dumbass, the money was spent here. We built the ammunition that they needed.
Right.
Right. That's where the money went. The money didn't go to some foreign bank account for them to access.
Right. No, it didn't go to George Soros, you moron.
It didn't go to George Soros. Right. Yeah. George Soros is the only look, this is the irony here. Republicans only have one billionaire that they always talk. Their go-to billionaire is George Soros.
Yeah.
Donald Trump displayed an array of them behind him at his inauguration.
Uh-huh. including people who are worth more and have spent more, e.g. Elon Musk, than George Soros.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't want a liberal billionaire interfering with my elections. You shouldn't want any billionaire interfering in your fucking elections if that's the way you feel.
Thank you.
You know, good.
But back to Ukraine. Where do you see things there after the slapdown of Zelensky in the Oval Office, which was probably it will go down in history as one of, if not the lowest moment for an American administration.
Insanely shameful at every level. I think we're going to face for a long time, because suddenly we're not a reliable ally. We're not a friend. We're not a comrade in arms anymore to some of these countries. Now we are at best the crazy uncle who either beats the shit out of you or brings you presents. And this isn't a place where
brings you presents and then beats the shit out of you.
Right, exactly. this is not a great spot for America to be in. And while they don't understand it, while a lot of these MAGAs don't understand why this is a problem and why this is bad, you know, we have a world at risk because of these assholes. And you know, how has Putin rewarded Trump since Trump buckled for him? By increasing his attacks on civilian targets. What did the foreign minister say yesterday on Monday? We have no interest in a ceasefire. Okay. Well, it sounds like it's working out great there.
Right.
Donald.
Right.
How about you and Marco and Steve Witkoff find another way to, you know, tell Putin his ass smells like honeysuckle? Because it's not working out.
It what I find interesting, because I love the politics of relationships, because that's what this town is all about. It is built on relationships. It is the currency of the realm, despite
100%.
It's all about the relationship. So one of the relationships I find the most amusing to watch is that of Trump's and Marco Rubio, because Marco, and there's so much sound, yes, about him in Trump, but in this one particular space where he was has been very clear since 2014 about what Russia represents in this, what they're doing, the danger that they represent, the importance of America's resilience against Russia, to stand as Reagan would have us stand in defiance of their expansionist vision of the globe. And to be, yes, people hate it, but in this instance, it's necessary. The policeman that will check them. To now have, particularly on Ukraine, to have Trump have him out there being the architect of its demise and destruction, knowing that that's not where Marco stands. That's not what Marco believes. Marco doesn't believe any of the shit that's coming out of his mouth right now relative to what's happening to this country, because we know he doesn't. But yet the drive to be the secretary, to be in power, mm-hmm. to have power, mm-hmm. just so overwhelms the senses that you're willing to get, allow yourself to be punked. Trump enjoys every time Marco's out there saying and saying stuff about and defending Russia.
There's nothing
amazing.
There's nothing on God's green earth that Donald Trump loves more than watching people humiliate themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And Marco, who is not a dumb guy.
No,
he's currently engaged in the most obscene degree of self-harm that I think I've ever witnessed among damn near anybody. It is vile what he's letting Trump do, what he's accepting as his fate. Look, being number four from the presidency and $4.25 gets you a small latte at Starbucks.
A small one.
A small one. But the idea in Marco's head apparently is that somehow he's going to play this like right up the middle, and he's going to be a loyal Trump guy, and then suddenly in 2028 he's going to run for president again. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marco's self image of a guy who believed in talking about liberty and freedom and against the scourge of dictatorship based on his family's history and his narrative. Mm-hmm. And I've known Marco a very long time. This guy has become a laughingstock because, you know, they know what he's doing. He's perfectly aware what he's doing with Trump right now. Marco yeah. absolutely knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows how wrong it is, and he wants power so badly. He wants to retain it and have that possibility of a future where he's the president, that he will literally do or say anything. And it is, at that point, you know, look, what's your soul worth? I don't know, but Marco sold his cheap.
Yeah, it is a profoundly disappointing thing to watch, because like you, I've known Marco since he was yep. Speaker of the House in Florida.
And, exactly.
And, you know, gave him a job at GOPAC when I was chairman, and he finished up. And I said, look, dude, do you want to stay in politics? Let's get you involved and position you. Because my argument to Marco back in the day was, make a run for governor. That's where you want to be.
I think that's what he should have done.
If he'd come out and just made that turn as opposed to the one he did, he would be in a very different place today. 100%. Probably would have been president in 12 or whatever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He probably would have. But what do we have now? We have a guy who is a moral dwarf. And it's bad. And that is never – he doesn't get to come back from this one. It just doesn't work that way. You know, once you say, I'll give up anything I believe to hold on to power.
Yeah.
You're probably going to actually lose power at that point.
That's exactly what happens. So before I let you get up out of here, I want to get a couple of things. Two, first, I've been thinking through and smart people this question, and you're one of the smart ones. I'd like to get your take on it. On the other side of all of this, let's say, okay, we survived the constitutional bullshit of Lindsey Graham trying to give Donald Trump a third term.
Right.
And we have this new landscape, open race 28. A sane Republican somewhere running from the fringes, the MAGA JD Vance fight inside the GOP.
Yeah.
You still are left with, you know, the remnants of what Trump and Elon have done. How right. do we recover? How do we begin to, because these institutions that have now just summarily been dismantled.
Yeah. This is a, yeah.
How does this come back? I mean,
I think you and I both agree on this point. We need two functioning political parties in this country.
Yeah.
The Democrats left to their own devices are Democrats, and they just don't always operate from a position that is either
either wise or appropriately constrained. And I say that because their ambition some of the time exceeds America's political tolerance.
Yeah.
And they have a harder time selling people on things. They're like, well, why don't people love everything we're doing? Well, because they don't love everything you're doing. That's and that's true. Just that comes down to this is a basic kind of like basic bitch facts sometimes hurt. But we need two functioning political parties because they improve one another. The founders knew we would have factions and dynamic pressures back and forth between parties and between interests and individuals. And we need that.
Yeah.
We ought to have that. But right now, we have one political party that functions magnificently as a political party, and we have one governing party that can't win an election for its fucking life.
Yeah.
Guess who that is, Democrats? and I think we are really at a point where we need to have, you know, very real talk with our Democratic friends and allies and let them know that, you know, we're not making these critiques of them because we're mean conservatives. We're making these critiques because if we don't have two functioning political parties in this country, then the Republican Party is going to absolutely dominate them electorally because it's what they do.
Right, right. That is so true.
It's what they do, and they're fucking good at it. And everybody should just like not like roll your eyes or pinch yourself. You should just recognize, respect the game. They're good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, get good at it. That is so true. And speaking of good at the game, the second point is what are you guys at Lincoln Project working on? How are you operationalizing this period that we're in? Because it's not an election cycle, and I think our election cycles going forward are going to be. I think the ones coming up, folks,
woo!
We're focusing on all the shit that's going on over here. They are also doing the same thing on the ground relative to how we have elections. So just be ready for that. But how are you guys working over there at Big Ol' LP?
So we are right now doing two things. One, we're working on the narrative framing of what's happening in the country. We are making sure Americans are hearing a non-Fox News version of the message. We're making sure they're understanding the economic damage that Trump is doing to them. Now, and that's not just with our traditional audience of soft Republicans or moderate Republicans. We're also expanding our message now to not all MAGAs, but a more expansive group of Republicans who are starting to like collide with reality. Oh God, these tariffs are going to screw me. The government, you know, all that stuff. We're, you know, who are not fans of getting in bed with Vladimir Putin. That's an ally.
Right.
And the second thing we're doing is we are starting to prepare to target about 25 races in the year 2026, both on the congressional side and some statewide races that will be important to make sure that we preserve voting rights and constitutional rights in some key states. But, you know, our big focus for 26 obviously is going to be on the House. That is the area where if you take back the House with even one or two votes, you stop the bullshit train that day. So that's sort of our focus right now. It is the off year. And so some of the narrative setting stuff that we do, the broader preparation for the 2026 battle, you'll see us talking about the economy a lot this year. You'll see us talking about the chaos and the craziness and Elon, who is now about as popular as an STD, and really driving a much harder message against those things in the off year. But look, the election starts in about 7 months.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of time in that.
Not a lot.
And we don't have a lot of space and time between here and there to build that narrative. So that's what we're working on every day right now.
Well, it's a good and mighty fine work over at the Lincoln Project. We appreciate you, my friend.
Congratulations on your new assignments at the network.
Looking forward to that. And again, engaging the conversation. And I can't wait to get you. You know, Rick Wilson is one thing during the day. He's a whole nother brother at night. Trust me on that one. Trust me.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I've been in the room with Rick, you know, when it gets dark. And, dude, I'm like, holy shit. Where's the fire extinguisher? Rick Wilson, he is one of a kind. He is a co-founder of the Lincoln Project and the
Thank
host
you, my
of
friend.
The Enemies List podcast. He's my friend. My partner in trying to keep us all sane, and I just appreciate you, man. I really do.
I love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Same here. Yes. All right, folks, that does it for our time together. Y'all take care of yourselves. Be safe. Be well out there, and stop following stupid. Please just stop. It's not good for you.
It's not good for you.
It just isn't. Just isn't. We love when you do that voodoo of just kind of doing the download thing. We appreciate it. Check out Rick on the Enemies List podcast. Check out the good work of the Lincoln Project online. And be a part of the engagement right now, folks. Don't sit on your ass.
Be in the
think
fight.
Somebody else is going to make a noise for you. They're not. That's not how the civil rights movement worked. That's not how this is going to work. Y'all got to get out there on the streets. You got to meet people in the neighborhood and help them understand their freedoms and their liberties are being taken from them. Yeah, it may be the Department of X, but guess what? That department serves a purpose. And when they go after that, they're going after a lot of things that you're going to come to find out are really important to you. So be smart about it. Until next time, take care.